That was pretty awesome, huh?
Gee.
Tracy's just laughing at me because I'm toasted sitting there. Like, I'm supposed to go up there? Just sit there and cry because everything you just saw is real. But faith says so. Because sometimes you don't relate to that being real because everything in front of you is so in the moment and emotions and But man, we got to keep our eyes on the good thing. We got to keep our eyes on Him. What it's really all about. Paul said, let's just look at what Paul said. This is amazing. 2 Corinthians 4. I don't preach out of this a whole lot because he's really talking about ministry and the trials of just believing Christ in the midst of a Judean culture and people that didn't understand the grace of God and all that good stuff. But I just want you to read, see what he said. This is crazy good. See, I'm watching this. I mean, this. They got married. That was just cool, too. It's like, cute. It's just, you're the best, man, wherever you are. And then all of a sudden, her husband is lost in the war. You guys caught that? Yeah. This stuff happens. But he's Lord. Amen. And he has sealed life forever through his blood. If you're just a Christian for things to go okay, it isn't even why he came. There is such an integrity and an honor in the faith of Christianity if we really get it. It's not loving your own life unto death, because he didn't love his own life unto death, and he gave you everything through his life. So we can be equipped to shine and reveal him in all things. Even in a tragedy, you didn't lose because you already won through the blood. You already won because you're sealed forever. You can't lose anymore. It might look like you lost here, but you've already won. That thing just got me. I still don't feel like talking. I just want to sit there and cry. Because I'm not being arrogant when I say this or prideful. I get it. I get what they just did. That's in my heart. I get that. And you're not going to take anything that he gave from me through the situations or circumstances of life. I was talking to some people last night because their dear friend is in a serious situation of life and death and hospice And I'm like, everybody sees me so passionate and sees me so, oh, and Jesus. And yeah, because that's the truth. That's where I am. And I said to him, guys, everybody I prayed for hasn't always just jumped up and been healed and said, praise the Lord. I've seen loss. I've seen children that had to die live, but I've seen children that had to die. It doesn't change what I'm pursuing. It doesn't change the beauty of the cross. It doesn't change the fact that I'm sealed forever in Him and He'll never change His mind. It doesn't change that I'm going to run and do well and not grow weary in well-doing. I said, my mother, my own mother, 3 years ago passed from sickness. She passed at 68. It's not cool. I don't like that. It doesn't change him. It makes me more hungry. It makes me want to get more and understand more. It doesn't give me more questions than answers. I have an answer and I'm growing in it. I'm not going to let my mother passing from sickness change everything that he accomplished. I'm not going to let natural reasoning talk my heart psychologically out of the truth that he's put inside of me. I'm not going to love the natural relationship that I've had with my mother more than the eternal life that I have through him and what I'm going to have with her in him forever. I'm not going to let a temporal moment of time cost me everything when he gave me all things through him. That's what this thing was all about. No matter what, you were there, you'll always be, you're greater, yay God. Man, that thing was good. Oh. Got me revved up now. I don't know how I feel this way, and I still just want to sit and cry. Here's the thing. Faith says what you just watched. Faith says it's true. Sometimes all you have is faith to believe that, and that's the honor of the gospel. And you know why that's a gift and why that's awesome? Some people get mad at faith. Why is it always faith? So that you don't live sensual and just live the way it seems. To separate you from sensuality and just human emotions and human reasoning and human wisdom. I treasure faith because faith separates me from living sensual and in the flesh. Faith empowers me to live by the Spirit. And the way that seems right to a man gets crushed every time by faith. You follow me?
Yes.
Come on. There's people all through this room that are facing immediate trials right now. Things that are trying to steal your joy, overwhelm you, and think you don't have wisdom for, et cetera, et cetera. What you just watched right here is true. He's there. Keep looking to Him. Don't grow weary in well-doing. We're going to reap if we don't lose heart. In due time, we're going to see a reward. This gospel isn't for the weary-hearted. He makes us strong. Amen? Come on, man. Listen to Paul. If we're not careful in today's church, we say, well, Paul needed to get some things aligned, or Paul needs more faith, or Paul probably opened a door to the enemy or something. No. He said, we're hard-pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be made known and manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be made known or manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. In other words, their example is amazing to people. He says, don't you get troubled by my chains.
Wow.
Don't you get moved by what I'm going through. For you, it's your glory. You're seeing that everything I'm saying, I'm understanding, you can follow this thing. Don't be moved by my chains. Don't take what I'm going through personal and go, oh, understand the honor of the gospel. Because he was talking about persecution and suffering for what he believed. He wasn't just talking about hardship in everyday life. But it's the same truth here, what I'm getting at. Watch this. So he goes on and he says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We believe and we speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus, watch this, will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now here's what I want you to see. This is how he ends this thing. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Come on, man. I said it Friday night. I said I've seen too many discouraged Christians that go to church and it proves we don't totally understand the gospel. We've accepted discouragement as normal. Preachers are afraid to talk like this because we think we're in denial because everybody's going to experience it. You take away the landing strip so the plane can't come in. You got to change the way you think and believe if you're going to change. I'm not condemning you if you're discouraged. What I'm saying is stop accepting it as normal. Start seeing that there's an answer. There's a higher way. There's His way. Be honest. When you're truly discouraged, where's it come from? Where's the foundation of discouragement? When you weigh everything based on how it's affecting you personally and making things tougher on you, challenging on you, when it becomes all about you and how you are in the middle of this. It's your focus is on you and how this is affecting you. If you lay down your life and deny yourself, you don't want that perspective anymore. Actually, even in that case, what's a higher thought is, wait a minute, I know this is pressing me, trying to put pressure on me and how it's affecting me, but how is my response in my life in Christ affecting everyone around me? Paul says this in Timothy. He says, therefore I endure all things for the sake of, and you think he would say Christ. Therefore, I endure all things. It gets spiritual on us. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of Christ. Here's what he said. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. What he's saying is, I understand that my life matters. My life marks hearts. I'm a testimony and a pattern to men to follow. My responses mean a lot. There's more involved than me. Come on. There's more involved. It's not about how I feel and what I'm going through. And hey, you need to pray for me. And hey, I'm just barely hanging in there. What do you expect? Look what I've been in the middle of. It's not about that. It's about how others perceive your life and how you're manifesting and representing Christ through all things. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the people that are watching my life. It's not time to be brokenhearted. It's not time to be discouraged. It's not time. It's time to trust Jesus and get a bigger picture than how you feel in the moment and what it seems right now. Are you guys following me? Man, they got me revved up now with that thing. That thing was powerful. Watch what he says. Therefore, I don't lose heart. I don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. Let's make it a we thing. He said, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. What's that mean? We're understanding more. We're seeing this thing clear. Where we were touchable before, we can't be touched anymore. There's change in us. We're rock solid. We're established. We're ready to run. You get what I'm saying? We're being renewed day by day. We're seeing this thing clearer than we've ever seen it before. Man, I used to live like this, and then it started like this, and now I'm just ascending into Him. You get it? Because I'm locked in. Truth is making me free. Amen. Now watch this. He says something amazing that faith has to embrace. You've got to believe this. And I was sharing with a young man in the car today on the way over here. Listen, the biggest thing that we can do is be sure to get to know Him more and have relationship with Jesus. Not theology, not doctrine, not a life of just good conduct, but knowing Him is the transformation of your life. And that's, I'm going to talk about that a little bit today, this morning probably. I don't know. Sometime. Yeah, it is the truth. I don't know. I have no idea. For our, watch this. Yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Don't you like that?
Yes. Whew.
Boy, that sure beats. I just can't take it anymore. Why is everything always got it? And all of a sudden, instead of growing through our stuff and increasing in Him more, we're getting wore down by our stuff. And now we're barely holding on. That's not the gospel.
Wow.
It seems to be the norm, but it's not the gospel. Preachers can make a whole life and ministry out of just talking about everybody being hurt and brokenhearted and come front. We want to pray for you so God restore your broken heart. And I don't know who's teaching that we don't have to be broken.
Wow.
We're always expecting to be. So the way that seems right to man just keeps leading our life. And you have all the rationale and reasoning for being broken, and the people you're talking to have brokenness, so they understand why you're broken, because they would be too. I hope you're hearing me okay. This isn't insensitive. I'm not being harsh when I talk like this. I could get sentimental right now, and I could say, some of you, I'll tell you, people haven't been treating you right, and things just haven't been fair, and life is really tough. And I'm telling you, it tends to wear, and it tends to, some of you had hopes and things that haven't come through, and your hearts are hurting right now, and you just need the ministry of the Lord to breathe strength into you, and put those pieces back together, and give you hope. And it sounds so like, yeah, that's me, pray for me. And in that, there's no change to think different, have a different eye, and you'll always be that way, and you'll always need that ministry. Because life just keeps coming. Life never stops coming. You saw it in the drama. Life's just always coming.
Wow.
You're not living in the moment. You're living in Him. You don't take life as it comes. You take life as it's come. And then you perceive everything that comes through Him. Are you guys all right?
Yes.
Come on, man. Or listen. Hard pressed every side, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. That sounds like prayer requests. Brother, it's been a tough week. Forget the week, it's been a tough life. Guess what he calls it? This is what faith believes. For our light affliction. I love that. He's not in denial. He's not over-spiritualizing. What he's saying is, I have such a revelation of the truth that none of this can come close to measuring up to it. I'm not just a tough Christian. I'm not just a disciplined Christian. I'm not just a great Christian. I'm not just surrendered and sold out and uncompromised. I have such a revelation of the truth that nothing can come close to it. And such a revelation that everything pales in the light of it. That's what he's saying, guys. He's not just saying I'm a trooper. Our light affliction, which is but, this is a revelation, this is what faith grabs. Our light affliction is but for a moment. Okay, now watch this. Now this is where integrity comes in our Christianity. This is where character is found. Watch this. So you're going through the biggest trial of your life, the biggest injustice, the biggest unfairness. Just falling apart, getting hurt, looking for justice in the natural and getting people to side with you. Anybody can do that. And nobody wins. It's just he said, she said. You reduce it to he said, she said. But how many of us are considering this? How imperative my responses are in that moment, seeing it for what it is. It's just a moment of light affliction. It's what I'm going through in light of what I have forever in him. And my life matters so much. My responses matter so much. Somebody around me, somebody connected with me needs to see a living example, a living pattern of truth, of righteousness, of peacemaking, of mercy, and a man that's unmoved and untouched by these things because he's been touched by him. And all of a sudden, you're a living testimony, a living epistle. You're not just push and shove, give and take. You're a product of his life. And I'm telling you, it matters to the people around you. Paul said to follow those you have as an example, to pattern after those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. It's important to live as a testimony to men and be a pattern. Why do we always believe we're followers? Why do we believe there's a few leaders? We're all leaders, lights in us. You can let your life lead the way and people can follow your example. Come on, you can be that one. You can make peace. You don't have to be falling apart. You can show mercy. You don't have to be angry. And you can be an example. Young people can see that and glean from that. And they're being influenced all the way around. And yet they think of sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so that they knew in their life. And when they used to go over there to Redemption House and they're like, but they were different. And all of a sudden that just stands out and one day could rescue them. You have no idea. Anybody can fall apart. What about manifesting Christ? Listen, we got to understand, and I've been talking about a lot in churches, family and the essence of family. Actually, Redemption House, the way it's set up, I want you to see it as a family. You got these houses, you got people from all over coming in, different personalities, preferences. It can be very challenging. People can kind of rub people the wrong way. But I'm telling you, in Christ, there's no such thing. There's a place to be an example in the house. There's a place to be an example to one another. It's not just about getting your fair shake. It's about giving him away. It's about manifesting him. It's about making him known. It's about preferring others. It's about showing people firsthand through your life, not your preaching, that Jesus is awesome. He's not a doctrine. He's a way of living. Family. Think how many times in family we're so willful and selfish and won't admit it. We say we love everybody, but we're just making a weird draw on everybody. So you throw an attitude for 4 hours and put tension in the home. Come on, that's not Jesus. So you're just drawing attention to yourself. You're insecure. You're looking for somebody to pat you, to cuddle you, to whatever. That is not the way to get it accomplished by putting pressure on your whole home. Just giving people the silent treatment for 2 hours. Just putting your spouse in a place where you're just letting them know you're mad. What is that? Now they're tiptoeing around, you're mad. They're tiptoeing around you and you're using and you're drawing, you're just playing this game. And it's just not family, it's not Jesus, it's not gospel, it's deception, it's Adam, the fall of man, it's the devil. I gave way too long of a list, Freddie. I should have just got it over with, man. It's the devil. Why? Because it doesn't create oneness. And it doesn't make peace. And it can't be God. People say, well, I'm just mad. I just need time to cool off. Why do you have a grid for being hot and angry? Well, I'm trying to forgive. Why do we have such a grid for unforgiveness? Why are you trying so hard? Why doesn't it just make sense? Come on, I'm talking plain and straight. You guys don't want a cheap, cheesy gospel, do you? No. Well, it hurts, brother. You need to give me time. No, you're buying time that you don't have. It takes time to get over some of these things. Who says? Ask Jesus that. Jesus, did it take time for you to get over them choosing Barabbas instead of you? Was that like a sore spot? In fact, bringing it up, I'm sorry if I ruffled you a little. Come on, guys, get real with me. We've learned a certain way, but it wasn't His way. And we're calling it the way. And we're thinking everybody's that way, and everybody has to be that way, and everybody's going to be that way. So we're trying to minister Jesus into that stuff. Why doesn't all that stuff just change? And why do I have to try to forgive you when I've been forgiven of everything I've ever done? Why do I have to? He says, if I'm forgiven of everything I've ever done and can't forgive you, I'm an evil and wicked servant that's bound in outer darkness. He says, if you hate your brother, you're in darkness till now. Oh, you can sing Holy is the Lamb and you can raise both hands and you can be flowing, but you don't know Him. You could see your need for a Savior. You could see you've sinned. You could see your need for forgiveness, but you don't know Him if you don't become love. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven someday. But the goal is that you're restored to love. The self-centered goal is I just want my blessing. I just want heaven. I just want my name in that book. So when it all goes down, I'm safe. No, the goal is you being transformed into His image and becoming love. That's the payoff to Jesus. The finished work of Christ fulfilled is a man's nature restored back to truth, back to love. It's not His name in a book called life. It's His nature restored back to Him. That's the payday. That's the dividends of the cross. The glory of His inheritance, not your inheritance, the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The dividends He receives through the investment of the blood of Jesus. He deposited the blood of Jesus into the earth, and the deposit and dividends of His return, what He would have to put on His tax return is one son, many sons. What I receive through my investment, have you received any interest, Lord? Yes, I have. I've received people that are Christ-like, that look like me, that the image of God is restored in them as if they've never sinned, and they're walking the earth filled with my glory, manifesting that glory. Yes, I have to file. I've received much return through the blood of my son. It's the glory of His inheritance. It's not just your inheritance. It's His inheritance. What He receives through sending His Son is people made like Him. Not just people that confess Him. People that are becoming like Him. See, repentance isn't boo-hoo, I'm sorry. Repentance is, I don't think like I used to. Repent. Think different. Because the kingdom of God is here. Yeah. It's not, sorry, God. Whoa. You know, I used to not think much of myself, Lord. And I used to let my own production determine that. But I'm thinking more of myself now because You see me in a whole different light. And God, I thank You that I have that value and I'm worth the blood of Your Son. And You believe the death of Jesus is worth my life lived. Yeah, I'm repenting in the way I even saw myself. I'm done saying, I don't know why You'd love me. And the reason people say that is because they're wearing their value based on their performance or lack thereof. The reason He loves you is because He created you for His image and you have a created value and He's there to secure it and be sure that it comes to pass. if you'll just believe. Man, this is the gospel.
Yes, Lord.
This is good news. Light affliction, it's but for a moment. I've preached this for years, guys. I've said, we got one little crack at it, man. We got one little natural life. You got like however many years on the earth. You can get super spiritual and say, I'm a 120 guy, or I'm at least a 70 guy, or I ain't never going to die. There's all kinds of stuff out there. Here's the bottom line. Your temporal little natural life, compared to when He comes, when that thing ends, when He comes again, no matter how long that time is, it's a tiny little window in the light of forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, never going to die. Eternity. In other words, your little life here, this little window, is here and going. I'm 53. I don't really know what that means. I know people 53 in the kingdom. I don't think 53. I feel like a kid inside, and I feel amazing in my body. I really do. So I don't relate to what people say. I get things in the mail when I was 40. You're now 40. You are more vulnerable or more subject to this, this, and this, and this than any time in your current life. And I'm like, like, you just crumble that thing up and say, God, thank you for the gospel. What would I be without covenant? I'd probably be on this list. Just chuck it. Because once you start believing that stuff, it's dangerous. Once you start saying, well, you know, I'm not any younger. Well, you know, I am 50. What are you saying? You're buying into men's experience and you're buying into man's resume. We've studied a fallen man and we've said, this is me. Why don't we study a man in Christ and see if it fits? All I know is He made me for His image. He didn't make me to degenerate. He didn't make me so that by the time I cross a certain age, what Jesus did doesn't cover me anymore. I don't step out of my life insurance policy. Come on. We're vulnerable on this earth. We've done so much study. We have so much natural knowledge. We're afraid of things. Some of us are afraid to breathe the air, drink the water, and the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and you happen to be His. You know, I'll be hunting in the mountains and the water's coming down out of the rocks in the stream, and I'll be with a friend and I'll kneel down and just, I don't even carry a water bottle. It's extra weight. Just drink it right out of it. People are like, you're drinking that? I'm like, listen, man, I'm not telling you to, but don't freak out because I am. Just leave me alone. I'm just okay. Listen, we sing, you are the air I breathe. And then we're afraid of the air we breathe. It's just craziness. It's craziness. You are the air I breathe. You know, you start teaching secondhand smoke's worse than firsthand. People say, man, I might as well just go to the smoke room and get it firsthand. It's easy. They say the secondhand smoke has different stuff, different releases, different things, and it could be more toxic. And now people are like, I'm dying because they're smoking. No, you're dying because you're full of fear. And you're not believing the gospel. The Lord woke me up one morning and He said, my people are vulnerable in the world in which they live, and I created them to subdue, and they're being subdued, and vulnerability is fear. And I was like, what? And here's the example He gave me. He said, why do people die of secondhand smoke? I said, only you know, Lord. Because I wasn't even sure what He was trying to tell me. I just knew His heart. Sometimes He comes to me with emotion. His heart sounded sad. Not that He's depressed, but I believe He hurts for folks. I don't think He cries because of you. I think He cries for you. But He said, why do people die of secondhand smoke? This is so profound, it's crazy. He said, why do people die of secondhand smoke? I said, I don't know. He said, because they believe they can. How many Christians are living preventative? They got so much natural knowledge, so now they think it's wisdom. Well, you got to take care of the temple. But the goal of what they're doing is preventative, not health, just health driven. It's preventative. When it's preventative, what you're saying is, I'm next in line. Preventative is a form of fear, and that won't be preached well in the body. You'll put me on a cross for preaching that because we are consumed with all that knowledge. We have studied that stuff more than we've got to know Him. We read more books on that stuff than we spend time with Him. I promise you. You get a symptom, you're not in your Bible, you're on the web medic. And after a few clicks, you're so freaked out in fear, and then you call for prayer. I'm just telling you, it's real. I've pastored and been saved long enough to know how we function. We have let natural knowledge become our wisdom. And then when somebody wants to live spiritual, we think they're in denial, or we say, you have to use wisdom, brother. That phrase, you'll find one day, has stopped the power of God more than any other phrase on the earth. Well, you got to use wisdom, brother. My question is, whose wisdom? I've lived my life in things, I don't even talk about it from the pulpit because then people would try to do it because they respect me. It's not that you try to do what somebody else did. You see what somebody else saw. You become what somebody else has become. You see it. You don't do it. You don't say, oh, that works for them. I'll try that. You don't write a book, How I Was Healed of Cancer. Everybody that's struggling goes out and tries to follow your pattern and wonder why it's not working for them. And now they're half condemned. It comes from a revelation. It's what you see. It's not what you do. There's things I've done in my life. There's ways I live that I've never preached from the pulpit. No, I won't. Because for one thing, it'll just create controversy and people will think they have to critique that and find a balance with it. No, leave me alone. I'm doing great. I have no fear in my life. I'm not afraid of dying ever. I don't even think about it. I'm going to live forever. My life is full of joy, full of peace. I sleep at night. My head hits the pillow. I boom for about 5.5 to 6 hours. And when I'm awake, I'm awake. And the day is amazing. That's my life every day. And if I start sharing some of the ways I live and people say, oh, well, brother, you should this. You should. I'm not even going to subject it to controversy. I'm just going to live this way. But the reason I won't share it openly, some of this stuff, because it involves faith, people will try it because they see it working for me rather than get the revelation so that they become that. They'll try that instead of become that. Are you guys with me? I don't even know how I'm getting on this stuff. It's the drama. It's the drama team's fault. It's their fault. This morning is their fault. Drama team, thank you. Brief moment, light affliction. This little window called life, guys, we have it right now. We're living in it. It's life in the flesh. It's the body, but we live it by the Spirit, of course. But it's in a body, right? Why do you have a body? To act out, manifest, and make known what's inside. God put His image inside of flesh and said, act it out, guys. He put flesh on love and said, manifest. If you live by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The only reason we have that war going is because Adam ate that tree. Now that thing's pulling you and tugging you, and the desires of the flesh are trying to lead you and guide you in what you need and what you feel and what you want. And this is what I think. You were never created for that. Don't let that remain normal. It's not normal. What's normal is oneness with God. What do you think, God? How do you feel? How do you see it? That's who I am, and that's what I want to see, and that's what I want to believe. So keep working in me, and thank you that we are one. That kind of prayer will change you forever. And all of a sudden, the way that seems right to man won't even tempt you anymore. You'll see it for what it is. It won't be the way that's normal and natural to you. Like, I have filled my heart with this word. When people talk outside of truth, it's like, warning. It's not that I'm policing you. It's just I would never buy in. No matter how convinced you sound and how convinced you are, I could never buy into something that's not truth. It's just in me. Like, I see it. You can't talk me out of this thing now. People say, you're brainwashed. My brain has been thoroughly washed. Wow. See, you can't just talk some lame old language that I've talked my whole life and get me to buy in anymore. I'm not for sale. I'm fully occupied, man. There's no vacancy over me flashing. There's no place to abide. He's in me. There's no room. I don't even have time for that stuff. I don't have time for fear and discouragement and stress and strife. That stuff has been so exposed through the Word for what it is that I've closed it out of my life and I put it off in places of prayer. And it doesn't, I don't even struggle with it. I don't even have to challenge with it. I'm like, oh boy, I need peace. I need peace. No, I live in peace. The Prince of Peace is in me. Chaos can be all around me and I don't even know how to step out of peace. It comes from relationship. It comes from getting your mind renewed, not conformed to the world, transformed by the renewing of your mind. You get alone with Him. You give yourself to Him. He gives who He is to you, two or one, and you shine in that place. Or we're just trying to get blessings from the Lord, breakthroughs, provision, and answers to prayer without knowing Him. Knowing Him is the greatest thing. Everything I'm talking about that we seek is found in knowing Him. I don't know why I got on that topic. I hope you're hearing me clear. I'm not boasting in my life. I'm boasting in His life. I'm boasting in what's possible. When I first got saved, I'm glad I didn't tell anybody how I was praying. I've learned later that a lot of leaders and folks, I'm not putting leaders down, I'm just saying it was different and it seemed extreme. And a lot of people would have tried to talk me out of what I was praying and said, now, I had one pastor one time I started to talk about some things. He said, well, wait a minute though, you can't believe that. I said, what do you mean? You can't believe that because if you do slip into that, you'll be so condemned. I said, no, if I do slip into that, I have an advocate, Jesus the righteous. I know my heart never intended to slip into that. My conscience is clear. I didn't find a way to sin and have God and sin and be free and yet sin and stay the same and claim freedom. I found a way to be free. Do you get what I'm saying? Like I didn't find a way to sin and get away with it by using the gospel. I found a way to be free from it. And he was like, but nobody's perfect. But someday you're gonna. And I'm like, man, I don't even want that grid. I don't even want, I'm not waiting to fail. I didn't wake up today to watch the clock to see when I'm going to need the blood to cover me. I'm not trying to make it to 11 because yesterday was 10:45 and at least I'll have increase. That's so sin conscious, it's scary. No, I woke up to be His today. And I happen to be. And because of that, I'm just doing all right. You know, I woke up righteous. I woke up forgiven. I woke up with nothing to prove. I'm already accepted in the Beloved. He absolutely loves me. You know why He's inside me? Because He wants to be. How amazing is that? You know why the Holy Spirit's in me? Because He wants to be. It's not because I cried and pleaded for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wanted to live in me from the beginning. I was a house fit for a king and I didn't know it. I was prime real estate, man. He walked the earth and saw me and paid the highest price to obtain me. The realtor would have said, you want to live there? Why would you want to? You got the cattle on a thousand hills. You own everything. You can live in a mansion. Everybody can see it from the north, south, east, the west at one time. It could be in the sky. It could be the biggest rock in this place, man. Lord, you can live anywhere. Why would you want to live in Him? Because of what I see. Because I know what He looks like when I'm in Him and He's in me. See, realtor, you don't see what I see. You just see a big fancy house. I see a house fit for a king. And when I move in, everything will change. All of a sudden, He pays the price, signs, and comes on in. I was prime real estate my whole life and didn't even know it. I was living way low, and I was worthy of the king. I was selling cheap and wasn't even for sale.
Man, I feel so born again right now. It's just happy to me.
If you don't let what I'm preaching matter most, something else will matter more. If you let this matter most, you'll see everything else in its right perspective. You won't be jerked around in life anymore. You won't live like a yo-yo and up and down and question what's wrong with me. You got to settle some things in Jesus, man. You got to say, I got this one little window called life, and it's not a dread. It's a gift. Life is a gift, Sarah. Life is a gift. Little window. Watch. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's like a flash. Whatever age you are, you can hardly relate to it, I promise. Whatever age you are sitting here, it's a blur. Be honest. It's a blur. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. It's amazing that you're the age you are. Where did the years go? How did I get here so quick? That happens. There's no one that doesn't get that. I don't care how tough, how struggles. I've never heard anybody say, boy, it seems like forever, my life. You know, no, it's a blur. When you look back, you were a kid yesterday. You're talking about a friendship, and all of a sudden you realize it was 22 years ago. And you're like, huh? I remember when I wasn't 22. And now I had a memory from 22 years ago. And it's like, ah! Who's ever done that? Where you're talking about someone, it seems like yesterday, and it was 30 years ago, guys. The people that are my age understand that. They relate to that. They're like, you're talking about conversations, and man, it's nothing to be talking about something, and you all of a sudden, after you leave, you realize, that was 26 years ago. And you remember it like it was yesterday. Boom, 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 boom. Birthdays are just rolling around. We're already in July. I just turned 53. I'm just about to click on to 54. The clicker's going to hit. Well, it won't be till December, but you know how quick it'll be here? Wisp and a vapor is what I'm saying, guys. Life is a gift. It's not a dread. You're not trying to get through life. You're living your life in Him. Jesus is not survival mode. Christianity is not survival. Keep me, Lord. Help me to make it through the end. No, it's giving you new life so you can shine and make the most. Now watch this. Here's the paradox. It's this little tiny window called life. But it can speak for all eternity on behalf of the King and leave a legacy on behalf of His name and bring glory and honor to Him forever. This little window can speak forever to the glory of God. Or you can expend it on deception, going back to the same old thing. You know there's no life, never seeing your value, never believing the gospel, and just saying, oh, well, I guess my life's not worthy. Well, I made too many mistakes. I know God's got to be disgusted. When deep down in your heart, you've heard different, and you know you heard He's not. And yet you just yield to the flesh, yield to feelings. And all of a sudden, 10 years go by, and your testimony's robbing you of your fruit, your legacy, and the glory to His name. And then one day, we all stand before Him and make an account for what we did with this gift, not dread, this gift called life. See, because there's a time to be born. When my dad went into my mother and sperm was released and it started to instinctively race to her egg, it's what it did, man. It raced her egg because the first one there that gets in, man. It's the one. There's like hundreds of millions of little squigglies racing. When the gun shoots, boom, and they're all released into mom, they're out of it. They're down there. They're like, wow. Boom. They're going, man. And they're, ooh, I crossed the line. Ah, I've been tinkering on that line, man. They're all racing. But watch this. There's hundreds of millions of them little guys running. But it's only one that gets in. The Bible says there's a time to be born and you were predestined before time to be a son, a daughter. That one that got in was you. Why? Because God saw you before you were seen. Because life comes from Him. Because your life, your existence is the yes and amen of God. The fact that you were conceived is the fact that God saw you and said it was you. And you're thinking life's an accident, happenstance, born out of due time, a mistake. There ain't no mistakes in the room. There ain't no mistakes on the planet. If life is, it came from the life giver. There's a time to be born. My dad went into my mother. My mother was very beautiful. And she was young, and she was the hot girl in the school. My dad gave up a 4-year paid scholarship to Florida University because he was 2 years ahead of my mom, and he didn't want to leave her with the wolves, he said. And she said, I'm in love with you. And he said, I'm in love with you. And they said, let's come up with a plan. How about if we get pregnant and they'll make us get married and I won't go to college and we'll be together? Oh, that's awesome. And they got pregnant. That was my brother. That's how they got pregnant. They planned it. It was on purpose. They weren't just, you know, one day getting messing around and it happened. They said, if we get pregnant, they'll force us to marry. I won't have to go to college and we'll just be together. Yay, that sounds awesome. They got pregnant. So they said, well, since we're pregnant and have this little guy, let's get another little baby and then we'll have our family and they'll be close together and we'll be done. See, people make plans, people do things, but the fact that it was me, the night my dad went into my mother, the fact that it was me that was conceived, I'm handpicked by God. There's like 499 million little sperm cells and possibilities that went wherever they go when they don't make it in the egg. And here I stand with destiny and everlasting life. Oh. It's just crazy good, man. And you think I'm going to let life talk me out of that eternal truth? You think I'm going to let a brief moment of light affliction? You think I'm going to let my mother passing and the confusion and the analytical side of that and the psychological mind of that and the way people just struggle and stress over that? Yeah, but my mother died and I don't understand. I prayed. And they're just falling apart. What they're revealing is they've never got close enough to God to know God. They're just trying to tap into God to get what they need. I'm not being rude. I'm not being mean. It's just true. So now you can't even calm down enough to get a grip. You're just overwhelmed by life, and yet he's the giver of it. Look, it's not even tempting for me when my mother passes for me to even lose a step here. It's not even I cleave to him all the more because of the value of life and destiny and we already won. And man, this is sobering and look what can happen. And let's stay defended and ready in God and let's live this life. Get out your, come on. You know what I'm saying? Why would you let a tragedy make you weaker? Why does that even make sense to Christians? Well, brother, you don't know what I'm going through. What about what he went through to give you the kingdom so that you can respond in the kingdom in everything? Why do we always talk about what we're going through? Why doesn't what he went through matter more? Because here's the deception. All of a sudden, you're only as good as things are going instead of as good as he is inside of you. All of a sudden, you're only as strong as the weakness all around you instead of as strong as the one that's unshakable inside you. Amen. Something about what I'm saying that we're going to grab a hold of. It's the drama team's fault. They shifted my whole heart today into this. It's good. You guys getting something out of this? Remember how you've heard your whole life, what you see is what you get? Yeah. Well, brother, what you see is what you get. Stop that. Watch. Our light affliction, it's only for a moment. It's working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, well, what you see is what you get. No. The Bible says you do not look at the things that are seen. Do you know how you let your identity and your emotions hinge on what you're going through if you're not careful? It's all you talk about when you bump into a friend and they ask how you're doing. It's the first thing out of your mouth. It becomes your story, your saga, your little soap. It's your world. No, not today, friends. What you're going through has nothing to do with who you are. What he went through defines who you are so that you can rightly discern what you're going through and handle it like Jesus. And be a testimony to men and be an example to people, young and old alike. Hallelujah. You think about the honor of children, that we have children. The reason God gave us the privilege of conceiving and bearing children isn't just to fulfill our own empty hearts through kids. That's not the point. Our hearts are supposed to be full in Him. You don't have children for fulfillment. You have children to be fruitful and multiply the image of God. Do you know how many people have kids for themselves? And then they set up the child to break their heart and disappoint them. And their whole life is in the whirlwind of the choices of their child. And their whole world, it's like a crazy movie on TV. Their whole world is dictated by every detail of what's going on with their child every day. And they call it love. And it's actually insecurity, vulnerability, and you're trying to find your identity through your kids. I've seen way too many parents that are only doing as good as their children are. Can I be straight with this? It's idolatry. It's making something matter more than Him. But yet you're praying to Him about the thing, and the whole thing's idolatry. And you think you're being spiritual because you're praying scriptures. And yet you can't even function. You're rendered unproductive, and you're a mess. So the devil got several birds with one stone. No, there's a place for faith. There's a place to see the destiny of your child, to proclaim it before God and go ahead and live productive and be unmovable and be unshakable. Your child needs to see that strength. You want them to come to Jesus and you're a wishy-washy mess and they're wondering what's so impressive with the Lord. And all you have is a confession and a teary-eyed statement? No, they're wondering, they're not seeing any strength in you. And you think it's so important that they get saved. And they're thinking, man, I don't know. I think you need something. Come on. There's an integrity in what I'm saying. It's not insensitive. It's not condemning. I've pastored long enough to watch too many parents that are called of the Lord throw away their identity and destiny through the temporal decisions of their children. For the things which are seen are temporary, so we're not going to look at the things that are seen. Because the things that are seen are... So your son takes a hard left turn, and it caught you off guard, and he was trained better, he knows better, he's never caused you trouble, and all of a sudden he's just doing something bent, and he's not coming back, and he doesn't even want to talk. So what do? You don't look at what's seen. What's seen is temporary. Yeah. Father, I'm so tempted to be moved by that and shocked by that. And the truth is, men are finding their way. Men have to come to the knowledge of truth. There's a will inside of every man, and he has to decide what he's going to do. I thank you that what was imparted to my boy was truth and the understanding of truth. And I thank you that inside his heart, he knows the difference between right and wrong. And Holy Spirit, you're not backing down. You're wooing him. You're speaking to him. I thank you his conscience will not be seared. His life will not be destroyed. Mark him, God, for glory and destiny. I rejoice in you, and I rejoice in the calling that you have upon my son. And I thank you, Father, that he's going to come to his senses and come to you and run well. Not so I'm a fulfilled parent, so that he fulfills everything you created him for. And I thank you for destiny, God. And Father, I won't back off and I won't back down. I will continue to love and show mercy and make peace and be a man of God. And at the gas pump, when a man says, how are you? I won't say, well, keep me in prayer. My son's a mess. I'll say, man, I'm glad you asked. I'm doing great. I got my eyes on Jesus in all things. There's some things he's working on, moving in and changing. And man, it's good to believe him. That's rarely a response I get from a Christian. You ask a Christian how they're doing, they tell you the top three things that they're struggling with and that's challenging them. Which reveals that we're gaining our identity from how things are going instead of who he is. So we're always reduced to just praying for better circumstances, praying for a better go-through, praying for our ducks to be in a row, praying for things to go smooth, praying for glassier seas. And then when they're not glassy, we think it's a lack of spirituality and I must be doing something wrong and I wonder why things are happening to me and where these doors are open and why the devil and whoa, God. And now we're confused and we never get settled in truth. And we're letting life define us every day. Happens all the time, guys. Doesn't have to happen. I'll have to talk about it next session, man. There's something really on my heart. This was in my heart. This is a little teaching time. We got a break. We're going to go for lunch and stuff, right? We're going somewhere else, right? So, we're going somewhere else to eat? They just brought it here? Good. This is just a little teaching time. I, I don't want to be long. I want us to fellowship. We're going to eat and stuff and hang out, and it's just going to be good. But I know you guys are hearing what I'm crying out to you. Listen, you don't have to jump on everything. You might not get everything. You might feel like everything I'm saying is certainly not your reality. But if you really listen and you ask God, man, you know, is this what you want from me? This is truth. If you look at the Word, you'll see this is the truth, man. And if you get alone with God and all you have to do is start here, God, I believe I'm worthy of this. I believe you're willing to give me everything necessary. I believe I'm worthy because you shed your blood and proved that there's more to my life than I've realized. And God, I've made many mistakes and I've been up and down. And I've left a lot of things move me like this man's saying. But I tell you what, I want to draw that line. I want to step into you and step out of that. And I just believe that you're for me and not against me, and believe that you're giving me wisdom. And God, I'm going to start there and grow there, and things are going to begin to change. Thank you for fixing my eyes on the truth and fixing on you. For too long, my eyes have been here and there. God, my eyes are on you. Thanks for loving me. I want my life to be a testimony to men. I want my life to bring you glory. I want my life in you. Come on, that's simple prayer. That's just being with him. Amen? Yeah. That sure beats just praying about a whole bunch of stuff and never being personal. Yeah. Just praying for them to change, this to change, new job, please Lord, another car. Mine's going to blow up soon. Please God. And you say, I got a prayer life. No, you have a needy life. Was that a dagger? Communion and prayer is a whole different thing than just praying for stuff. Keep believing for people. Pray for all men. Pray for those in authority. I understand. Pray for your country and government as they come in your heart. But be sure you spend a lot of time doing this. Father, your love for me is amazing. I thank you how you see me. I thank you, you've washed me of every sin and you made me pure in your sight. God, you give me so much confidence to stand before you. You're the very one that's changed my life. You're the one that's brought me freedom. Instead of stop waiting to feel free or to live free, why don't you get alone and start declaring that freedom and start thanking God, I believe you've delivered me from the power of darkness. God, I'm done believing that I'm a man with some hidden secret or inner bondage. God, you have made me free, and who the Son has set free is free. You get alone with God and start praying like that. Watch what Holy Ghost does inside of you. Watch how that thing that was feeling like bondage breaks away just because of what you believe. Sometimes our whole prayer life is driven by sensuality, and we feel in bondage and we don't feel good and we don't feel free. So we're always praying for freedom. Why don't you get alone and believe freedom? Why don't you believe the gospel was enough, the blood was enough, and no matter what they did to me and what happened when I was 4 and how they touched me when I was 7 and how I had to go to that school when I was 9, God, you are greater than all that. You've snatched me out of darkness into light. None of that is who I am standing here today. I'm done living through that stuff. I'm living through you. There's a change that takes place. Are you guys with me? Why don't you stand to your feet, and I'm going to close in prayer, and we're going to go eat and fellowship and have fun together, okay? You guys good? I know you got something out of that today. You had to. It was just the drama alone was enough, man. It just made me cry. I was like, whoa. We were toasted up here. Me and David was a bunch of babies up here. Would you do this with me? You don't have to if you don't want to. I'm not controlling anybody. But when you lift your hands to God, most of the time it's really a sign of yielding. Yes. And I give myself to you. It's a posture of humility. I surrender. I honor. I just, here I am, Lord. I'm yours. And I honor you. And I'm opened up to you. You know, some people say it's like a little child saying, Daddy, pick me up. I know that's intimate and cute and cool. That's awesome. I'm not against that. But really what I'm asking you to do now is lift your hands as a sign of, I want to give myself to everything you're saying. I thank you that this is all true. And I'm saying, yes, I'm in. I'm living this life. And as we do this, I want you to determine in your heart, I'm putting everything that's ever been behind me, that's tried to stumble me, that's tried to become my resume, my identity, and my emotional makeup or my status. I'm putting it all away. I'm done looking there because I've found you. Father, thank you. I trust you, and I thank you. You're the one that gives me wisdom. You're the one that gives me grace. Father, I'm asking right now for just a grace to come upon every person in this place to step out of what was and step into what is in you. And Father, I pray that every word spoken will land on every heart necessary and produce much fruit, God. I pray for transformation in our lives, encouragement, strength. Thank you for increase. Father, let today be a day of amazing face-to-face fellowship. Just let there be a spirit of love upon this place. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you for your grace that changes us. I don't want one person in this atmosphere thinking low of yourself right now. Don't let yesterday's performance decide your value. The cross of Christ reveals you're worth a whole lot. So, Father, you're making things straight in me. You're teaching me through all things. You're fulfilling me. You're my everything. I love you, Jesus. And I give myself to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, David. You got any announcements? Anything you want to say? I'm done.